Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thanks very much for staying with me. Thanks for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. You're going to be glad you hung out with me because we got Roger Volcoma back on the show. Roger is as of this month, a 10-year veteran of the Small Business Advocate show. He first joined us back in September of 1999. He's a professor of management at the Kogut School of Business at American University, and he's a consultant to corporations and countries all around the world. He's a negotiation expert. He's our negotiation expert. And his new book is called Leverage, How to Get It, How to Keep It in Any Negotiation. And he's our good friend. Roger, welcome back and happy anniversary.
Thank you, Jim. I didn't know it was our anniversary.
How about that? Yeah.
I forget what 10 years is. Is it, there must be some precious metal.
I think it's cardboard. In the radio industry, I think it's cardboard. Yeah. Huh. Yeah, you're going to get a nice little box of cardboard from us. Actually, when you get the box, that is going to be your present, the cardboard box. But no, you were with us on September 1st, the first time, 1999.
Wow.
It's been just over 10 years. So happy anniversary. We have a lot of Brain Trust members who've been with us that long, and some as long as almost 12 years. So we're glad you're still talking about negotiation. As you know, this is a topic that small business owners must be able to master, or at least to become as good as they can be on it, because in the marketplace, you know, that's where a lot of negotiations take place. And sometimes they should take place when they don't. It's because people don't initiate a negotiation, right?
True. You know, it's amazing how many people, myself included, we've all experienced this, where a little voice says, he won't do that or she won't do that, and we don't ask for what we want.
Yep.
And if you don't ask, there's a good chance you're not going to get it.
I can remember walking around with my kids when they were teenagers, and we'd be, somewhere shopping or something, and I'd start a negotiation, try to initiate a negotiation, and you can just see my kids kind of rolling their eyes and slinking back and saying, here he goes again.
That's the only way to get it. Well,
that's exactly right.
There's different ways to ask, but you're pretty much assured of not getting something if you don't ask for it. Sometimes if you approach the other party and talk about other things, maybe it'll come around to that, and they can say, well, is there anything else I can do for you? And it offers sort of an invitation to ask. It's a little bit easier to ask under conditions like that.
What if you just said something like, well, this is just a little outside of my budget, or it's a little bit outside of what I had budgeted to pay for something like this?
Yeah. So the other thing we sometimes do, sometimes we don't engage the other party at all. Sometimes we do and don't ask, but sometimes we ask for less than we really want. We think, well, if I don't ask for a 5-year warranty, for example, I just ask for 2 years,
mm-hmm.
maybe it'll be easier to ask and they'll accept that. We're afraid that they're going to say no.
And in this economy, you never know what people are what people are willing to do.
You never know. I had Jim, somebody call me a few years ago, asking about doing some training in negotiation. And I said, well, why do you think you need training in negotiation? And she said, well, one of our buyers was talking to a supplier, and the supplier offered a certain price, and they said, is that the best you can do? And they lowered the price by $500,000. Sometimes we just don't ask, is that the best you can do?
Exactly. Well, and the thing is you never know what people will... We'll go until you somehow initiate it, because it's not their job to do that, is it?
Right, it's not.
If somebody's offering you a good or a service or some kind of a product or a piece of real estate to lease or whatever it may be, it's their job to give you a price. It's not their job to negotiate. And And of course, if the other person is good, Roger, when you say, "Is that the best you can do?" they say, "Well, what did you have in mind?" If they're smart, they'll put it back on you, won't they?
And you better have thought about that. You better know something about the marketplace and the value of what you're buying.
Right. And have a little. And so, if you make an offer to them, have a little bit of research behind it. Is that what you're saying?
Oh yeah, preparation is in all phases of all types of negotiations is critical.
Information in the negotiation process. That's one thing you've taught us over the years, Rogers. Information is your best friend in a negotiation.
Exactly. It's the most important thing. And if you know that the other person is likely motivated to sell or do business, then it makes it a little bit easier for you to ask.
Mm-hmm.
And if you know what the going rate is, the market value of this good or service, then it makes it easier to offer suggest a price or whatever.
Right. Well, I was one time being asked to deliver something and deliver a service, and I discovered that someone I knew had already been engaged to do this once before, and so I didn't know what they were going to charge, what they were going to pay, but I called my friend up and I said, he was close enough friend, I said, "What did they pay you?" He told me.
Yeah.
So when they contacted me, they gave me a lower number.
Many times we wait until we're actually face-to-face with the other party to try to get information. But as you suggest, there's all types of sources of information.
Yeah.
The Internet, colleagues, competitors, suppliers. There's all sorts of different sources of information that you can tap before you actually encounter the other party that gives you valuable information.
Well, in this case, all I did was say, "Well, I was actually thinking more about along the lines of this number," mm-hmm. which was his number, and they paid it.
mm-hmm.
But they weren't going to initially, and so you got to know a little bit. If you're negotiating for a real estate lease, you need to know what per square foot rates are going for these days in that area.
It gives you more confidence, also.
Mm-hmm.
And probably helps you identify alternatives. If you don't have any alternatives to negotiating with a particular individual,
mm-hmm.
it can be frightening. So you're more likely to ask for less than you really want, for example. So you need to have alternatives, and that kind of preparation can help you find those.
Well, we're all trying to make our every dollar go as far as they can go these days. That's the way the environment looks like in the marketplace these days, and so this is good information. We'll come back after these messages. We're going to get Roger to give us a little bit more sophisticated ways of initiating a negotiation, and we'll do that right after these messages. His book is called Leverage. Roger Volcom is the author. He's our good friend, celebrating his 10th anniversary as a member of our Brain Trust. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with me. We'll be right back.
In the market down in New Orleans, Scott old slave, I know it's doing all right.
Welcome back. It's 23 after the hour. Little Robert Cray bringing us back. I'm Jim Blassingame, a small business advocate. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. I hope you'll check it out when you get a chance and use it to your advantage. We built it just for you. Whatever you want, whatever you've got on your mind under the small business sun, we got something there that will help you. Smallbusinessadvocate.com. And if you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm at Jim Blassingame. Roger Volcom is our guest, our good friend, a 10-year now, celebrating 10 years as a member of our Brain Trust. He's the author of Leverage. He's a professor of negotiation primarily, but also management at American University. And Roger, tell us how we can find you, your book, and find you online too.
Well, Jim, the book Leverage and my previous book, The Negotiation Toolkit, generally is available in bookstores or through Amazon.com.
And so, folks, you want to have both of these books, and I really encourage you, if you're a small business owner or want to be, you need to be reading what Roger has to say about this, because I promise you, you know, if I said to you, okay, you know, could you spend a few bucks to... if you could spend a few bucks to help your money stretch just a little bit farther, this precious capital that we call our working capital, if you could stretch it just a little bit farther and spend just a few bucks to learn how to do that, you'd say, absolutely. Who do I write the check to? Well, buy Roger's books, and it will do that. I promise you. Roger, we're talking about initiating the negotiation. What are some other ways we can initiate a negotiation?
Well, there are a lot of ways to sort of ease into it. Sometimes people will be more indirect. It makes it easier for you to make your request. So rather than ask, for example, for a particular, suppose you're looking to travel internationally or something, work internationally, rather than ask your boss for that, you say, well, I see the company is going to be opening an office in Beijing. Mm-hmm. Sort of bring up the topic, broach the topic, and see how they respond to that. Sometimes it's useful to take on the role of somebody else, a more favorable role, and request on behalf of somebody else. Some of the research out there, Jim, suggests that women actually have a more difficult time than men asking for what they want, except when they're representing somebody else, and then they're as good or better than men in asking for what they want. The key is trying to get the other party to say yes to something. You don't want them to say no. Because once mm-hmm. somebody has said, no, I can't do that or I won't do that, it takes a lot more effort to convince them to change their mind. So you want to find some way to get them to say yes to a series of questions. And the kind of things you want to avoid saying is, you know, you wouldn't want to do this, would you? I don't suppose you'd consider this. I mean, that's almost a self-fulfilling prophecy. In fact, if you can get them to sort of problem solve with you, can you help me? There's a problem here I'm trying to figure out, and get them to sort of work on it with you. And sometimes
what about if you're trying to buy something? You're saying, well, you know what? I really need to move my offices to more. I need more room. I'd like to get to a different place. And I like your property, but I'm really concerned that I'm not going to be able to afford it.
Mm-hmm.
How about something like that? And mm-hmm. you just sort of tell them what you want to accomplish and what your concerns are, and sort of let them help you solve the problem.
And you're also, Jim, offering them a genuine compliment. I really like, you know, what you're offering. Can you help me figure out how to do this? I can't afford to pay this price or so forth. Sometimes labeling your behaviors before you do it. Can I ask you a question? What if we did it this way? It sort of eases into it. So there are ways of bringing up a topic, asking for something that makes it a little more palatable to the other party, and you're more comfortable asking if it's not a natural thing for you.
One of the things that you've taught us over the years, Roger, is you need to know what you're willing to give up. Because if you're asking them for something, you need to be prepared to give a little bit too, don't you?
Well, there's a principle of persuasion, Jim, called reciprocity. If I do something for you, you almost have to do something for me. So that's also a way to begin a negotiation, is by, you know, figuring out what you can do for the other person. There's lots of organizations that provide little gifts. They send us things in the mail and so forth. And then when it comes time to ask us a favor, it's more difficult for us to refuse them. So it's been said that the first thing you ought to do in a negotiation is not ask how can that person help me, but how can I help that person?
Mm-hmm.
And then they will want to return the favor.
So, well, you know, another thing is turning it around where my small business audience is being the one being asked to negotiate. Mm-hmm. You know, a customer says, will you give me a discount? I'd like to pay less right now because of the economy, whatever. And I've always said, okay, that's fine if you have to go do that, but don't give that without getting something back. For example,
right.
Say, okay, I'll consider doing that this year if you'll sign a 3-year agreement. And so you know, this year I'll have a lower price. Next year we'll have the regular price. The year after that, you'll allow me to make this money up in the third year when we think everybody's going to be doing better.
Yeah, and it often helps to have thought this through ahead of time.
Yeah.
Of course, there have been some experiences that the small business owners had, but if you're surprised by the request, it's often more difficult to think quickly when you're under that kind of pressure.
Absolutely.
But you're right. I think thinking what can you, how can you parlay this into a larger business deal, a long-term relationship, et cetera.
If you give something up, try to get something. If you ask for something to be given up, be prepared to give a little bit. Roger, thanks for being here. Folks, you need to check these books out. Roger and I can't cover everything, and there's so many different things that you've got in your world to negotiate. So check out Roger's books, Leverage, also the Negotiation Toolkit. Roger Volkema, thanks for being here. Happy anniversary.
Thanks, Jim. Happy anniversary.
Yeah. Roger Bokelman, ladies and gentlemen. He'll be back. I will be too after these messages. Stay with me.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.